זהו שאר אמרה שכם ויבוא מלך הכבוד זהו שאר אמרה שכם ויבוא מלך הכבוד מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד אדוני צבאות מי הוא זה מלך הכבוד ישוע המשיח
Thank you.
Who am I to be called of your people, the ones that are called by your name? Could I be chosen as one of your own? Could it be that our blood is the same? How could a stranger or remnant of nations belong to the royal line? You showed your grace when the branches were broken and grafted me into the vine. Baruch Hashem Adonai, Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai, Baruch Hashem Adonai, Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Show me such bountiful mercy by taking the life of the lamb. Your love is greater than I can imagine. I bless you with all that I am. Praise to you, Yeshua, the veil has been parted and what once was secret is known. Now I can cry to you, Abba, my Father, and praise you as one of your own. Baruch Hashem Adonai, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai, Baruch Hashem Adonai, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Thank you.
Hi. Well, I feel like a big shot with this pulpit. Don't you have something modest? Yes, you have. Allow me. Yes. Thank you. And this is Leila. Leila was a great tool in bringing us here to California after about 20 years, Gabby? 18 years since the last time we have been? 25. Wow. Wow. Well, I don't need to introduce myself. Gabby did a good job. And you know, I don't allow Gabby to sing too many songs. Oh, thank you, my friend. Thank you. Too many songs because otherwise, you know what will happen, yeah? This is the better part. So she just gives you the taste and then you are stuck with me. Okay, beloved. If you have your Bibles, let's start with a little reading, and then I will describe to you what is ahead of us in the next three evenings by God's grace. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Luke 24 and verse 13. Let me give you the background of this chapter. Of course, I'm sure you know it. I'm preaching to the choir. But hopefully, some of you are not the choir. Some of you need to hear what we are going to say, what is going to be said in these next three evenings, including today. So, of course, chapter 24 of the Gospel of Luke describes that very, very famous day. Not Sunday. It was not called Sunday back then, because God never named the days of the week. God numbered them. The story of creation, there is the first day, second, third, etc. And the only day which is actually named with a descriptive name is Shabbat. Shabbat, Sabbath, from the root, Lashevet or Shabbat, to sit. Because back then they were not working on computers, most of them at least, they were farmers, fishermen, name it, yeah, constructors. They worked in the fields and what really applied that they are resting when they sat. So God sat down. God is seated on his throne. Yeshua is Yeshua Jesus, yeah? Everybody, I'm home, right? Not that I'm not home in the church, by the way. They are also dear brothers. Yeshua is seated at the right hand of the Father, right? So, sitting means a lot. It's not just, a nice recliner or a massage, chair. No. It's to cease from your work. It's to enter a Sabbath, okay? And we are actually, as believers in Yeshua, as followers of Yeshua, we are called to sit with him on the throne, okay? By faith, of course, till it will be once a reality, okay? So, Chapter 24, back to chapter 24, Luke 24, speaks about that very famous first day of the week. Okay? long after Yeshua was already out of the grave, out of the tomb, because Yeshua was not resurrected in what we call Sunday today. Okay, it was not in daylight for sure. How do I know? I read my Bible, because the Bible tells me so, right? Because Mary Magdalene, for example, just a small example, in the Gospel of John, she comes to the grave, the tomb, okay, and she sees it empty. Self-pity party, you know, and then she sees the gardener. She thinks he's the gardener. Remember the story? It's dark. It says it's dark. It's not Rami. I don't invent it. It is dark, which means still night or just at dawn, yeah? And she doesn't recognize him and say, oh, where did you put the body of my master? Miriam, Mary. And she immediately runs to kiss his legs, remember? And of course, what does he say? Don't touch me. Why? Strange. I mean, in the other gospel, it says that he accepted worship. He received worship, right? I mean, they came, they kissed his leg, but in the Gospel of John, don't touch me. I did not show myself yet to the Father. Feast of First Fruits rather than Easter. Okay? Feast of First Fruit, the waving of the sheaf, the barley sheaf, before God in the temple, by the priest, of course, for their, the people, acceptance. Yeshua is waving himself before the Father. Good job, son. You can go. He goes down for another 40 days, but this time as glorified Messiah, resurrected Messiah. Are you still following? I'm still in my introduction. So, this is, Corey, how many hours do I have? 5, 6? Till midnight? So, till midnight today, till midnight to tomorrow. So, I have about 20 hours to cover. Don't worry. 1 hour is okay? Good. Okay? 1 hour each evening. Israeli hour. Ask my tourists, you know, when they asked me, my tourists asked me, when do you think we will be back at the hotel, yeah? Because they have children, they want a swimming pool, name it, yeah? So I tell them, around 5. Around 5 can be 6 or 4, because 4 and 6 are around, right? This is Israeli time. So around 1 hour. Will you be okay with me? Even with my accent? It's too late to change my accent, so you better get used to it. Beloved, this first day of the week, the disciples should have known better. How many times Yeshua spoke about what is ahead, which means that he will be betrayed, he will be mocked, beaten, you know, tortured, crucified, buried, and resurrected on the third day. How many times? More than once, right? At least 3. Remember when he was rebuked by Peter, far be it from you, okay? In Matthew 16. So they should have known better, right? So he told them that he will be resurrected on the third day. They should have thought of the Feast of First Fruit. It was a great day in the temple. So instead of, Rabbi Corey, instead of staying in the temple and wait for the resurrected Messiah, yeah? And see the priest, you know, waving and do this with a barley sheaf and say, he doesn't know, but our Messiah is already awake, yeah? As he said, instead, 2 of them are in a big self-pity party. Verse 13. Now behold, 2 of them were traveling that same day, the first day of the week, to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. I'm reading from the New King James, only because my Bible has 2 columns, Hebrew and English. I did not find another translation. But actually, I like the New King James. It's quite accurate. So, beloved, 7 miles from Jerusalem. Have you been to Jerusalem? Or at least you heard about it, you Googled about it, yeah? Jerusalem, in relationship to its surroundings, is up on the hill, up on the mountain, yeah? On the central Israeli central mountain range, about 2,400 feet above sea level, okay? Wherever you go from Jerusalem, when you exit Jerusalem, wherever you go down. Are you with me? The natural points to the spiritual. those two disciples, instead of staying in the city of the great king in Jerusalem, awaiting all his promises, yeah, they turned their back to Jerusalem and walked down to Emmaus. Are you with me? No wonder they are very sad. Verse 14. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Yeshua himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. No wonder many do not know Yeshua. And I'm not talking about non-believers. I'm talking about some good, think they're good born-again believers who are detached from Jerusalem. When you are detached from your roots, your eyes will be restrained. Are you with me? It's not that they play a gimmick, a game on them. Oh, I will surprise them. I will. No, no, no. You need to see it in the depth of it. Yeah, they're turning their back to Jerusalem. Instead of waiting for it, they go down. Of course, their eyes will be closed. Many, especially in the church, in the Gentile church, are still walking down and away with their backs to Jerusalem. And of course, I'm talking about figuratively, yeah? Beloved, are you with me? What will cause the turn of 180 degrees facing Jerusalem and walking back up to Jerusalem? What will bring people back to their roots, back to Jerusalem, beloved? An encounter, a meeting with Yeshua. Thank you, sweetie. Leila, you are such a Yiddish lemamale. Friends, an encounter with the living Messiah. It won't help that I will teach the Jewish roots of Christianity, and I do it for the last 15, 20 years, okay? It won't help. You need an encounter. Somebody needs an encounter with the living Messiah in order to turn back to him, back to the city of the great king, and wait there till he comes. I'm not talking about taking El Al flight and paying lots of money and go to Israel and stay there. You cannot stay more than 3 months unless you are a Jew. Are you with me? As a tourist, you're only 3 months there. Of course, I'm talking spiritually, figuratively. You need to have your heads, eyes, minds, souls, focus, not on Mammoth Lakes, California, nor in Orange County. Are you with me? An encounter with the Messiah. And they have it. So Yeshua asks them, why are you so sad? In the next verse, yeah? And of course, verse 18, Cleophas, said, one of the two, says to him, are you the only, I'm in verse 18, stranger in Jerusalem and have not known the things which happened there in those days? And he said to them, what things? By the way, as I'm speaking, I am getting more revelations and I'm transparent with you. You see, I don't use notes. It's not to brag. I'm a simple man. I'm not a scholar. Yeah, but as I'm talking, praise be to God, using me in my weaknesses and giving me more and more revelation. Thank you, Abba. You are worthy to be praised. Yeah? Friends, a key for your eyes to be open is to go back to what happened in Jerusalem, not to what happened in Rome. To what happened with God's people as it relates to their Messiah. And not some strange creature, you know, who is completely detached from his context. Okay? So Yeshua will encourage us all the time to go back, to focus in Jerusalem and what on the things which happened in Jerusalem. Are you with me? I hope you look at it in the multi-levels that I'm trying to convey to you. Again, It's not, oh, let's now have picture of Jerusalem in front of us daily. No. It's to be connected to where it all started and where it all will also end. To make a long story short, because we are only in the introduction, verse 25, he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all the writings of Martin Luther King. And in all, why are we laughing? I'm reading my Bible. And in John Wesley, and in the, I don't know the names, you know, it's English names, I don't know them, yeah. Okay, let me try something else. In all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Messiah to have suffered those things and to enter into his glory? Beloved, a student is not bigger than his master. Okay? Why do I say it? Because many, many think that what happened to Yeshua happened to Yeshua to exempt us from going in his footsteps. Forget about it. Would you like to be glorified one day? Would you like the glory of God one day? Prepare to walk the walk. No shortcuts, not even pre-tribulation rapture. And I'm not politically correct, sorry. And you know what? I'm not sorry. I don't apologize for not being politically correct. You want to attain to what your master attained, you need to walk in his footsteps. Actually, when Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, he did not invent a creed that different Christians will follow up. I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son. No! Also the demons believe in it. So what? Show it to me by your life conduct. Because the next verse after this excellent proclamation of the Messiah of Yeshua, who is Yeshua? Matthew 16, Yeshua rebukes the same one, Peter, and said to him, get behind me, Satan. Why? Because your mind is not after God's, yeah? But after, you know, I'm paraphrasing it because I forgot exactly the quotation. Why? Peter wanted to remain in the comfort zone of Caesarea Philippi. Upper Galilee, lush, green, beautiful flowers, yeah? Mountains, waterfalls. And Yeshua said, wow, whom do you think I am? Okay. Turn to this, to all these goodies, and let's start walk to Jerusalem. The one who is not willing to carry his cross daily is not worthy. Those are the very following words of Matthew 16. And verse 27 of Luke 24. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then, you know, the sun went down and they persuade him to sit with them, okay? And he breaks bread with them. Probably they see the signs. This is my interpretation. You don't need to accept it. But their eyes are open and he vanishes. And look what they say. Verse 32. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? Scriptures are mentioned at least twice in the last one or two verses, right? Beginning, opening the scriptures from Moses and the prophets, etc. Yeah. Friends, scriptures did not include Matthew, Luke, 1 Corinthians, Romans, name it. No New Testament books, writings were at hand. They were in the process, in the writings, yeah? But not as canonized scriptures till a few hundred years later, did you know it? The first church, I call it synagogue or assembly of God's people, did not have the New Testament. So what were the scriptures that Yeshua opened for them? What were the scriptures that Paul said they are good to edify and even to lead you to salvation? Remember? They are all inspired by God's Spirit. Two-thirds of the Bible today. The first two-thirds. The Tanakh, or abbreviation of Torah, Nevim, Ketuvim, Torah, Prophets, and the Writings, or as some of you mistakenly call it, mistakenly, the Old Testament. Because it never was called old by the disciples. There is Old Covenant, Mount Sinai, versus New Covenant, Mount Golgotha. Okay? It never relates to the books themselves. There are the books of the Old Covenant. The books themselves are not old. They are still good to edify you, to build you up, to lead you to salvation. And there are books of the New Testament. Are you still following? Beloved, in John 5, you check me later on, Yeshua says the following to the Pharisees, the rabbis, you know, which all used to attack him, you know. Who are you? Show us this. Why do you do this? Etc. Etc. He said to them, if you would believe Moses, you would believe also in me. Because Moses wrote about me. What did he mean by that? Did he mean Shiloh, Genesis 10? Did he mean our portion of the week that I will relate to on Shabbat if you come? I will relate to the portion specific, you know. Shoftim, you know, where a prophet from amongst you I will raise, yeah? Deuteronomy 18. What did he speak about? Beloved, in those three evenings, I will show you, I will give you some nuggets which will show you that Moses wrote about Messiah from the very beginning. Genesis 1 up till Deuteronomy, how many chapters there are? 30 something, yeah? And not only this, Messiah is portrayed throughout the Old Testament. Are you with me? But you cannot see it unless you have an encounter with the living Messiah like those disciples had. And look what the encounter with Messiah caused. Verse 33. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. What did the encounter do to them? They turned 180 degrees, yeah? Rather than giving their back to Jerusalem, now they are fully going straightforward up to Jerusalem. An encounter with God, which included opening the scriptures to them. That's what we will try to do in the next three evenings. Sounds good? But before we even start, I want to show you few slides, okay? Which, in my humble opinion, caused the situation in which the church for sure, and some of Messianic Judaism is at those days. I want to speak about the Greek-Roman mentality, mindset, versus the Hebraic Jewish Middle Eastern mindset, which is expressed throughout this Bible. There is no Greco-Roman thinking in this Bible. And what I said, my statement includes Paul as well. Because many say, oh, Paul was, you know, a scholar. Yeah, he was. He was a rabbi. Yeah, he was. But he was a Jew. And he thought like a Jew. Sometimes he picked up on the Greek people, you know, on their mindset, but immediately to draw their attention to the Jewish Messiah, to the reality, which did not exist in their mindset. So, beloved, why are we so far away today in the body of Messiah? And again, especially in the Gentile segment of the body of Messiah, why are we so far from Jerusalem? First of all, do you agree with me that we are far from Jerusalem? I don't want to blah, blah, blah if you don't even agree with me, if you don't have common ground. When you read the New Testament, read the book of Acts, yeah? Is the expression of faith in the book of Acts the same like the expression of faith in church today? Did they keep Sunday? Did they keep Easter? Did they keep Christmas? But I'm not talking about doing things, you know. I'm talking in the mentality. No, there is a gap. You agree with me? What caused it? Let's try to a little, no, touch it a little bit, okay? A little bit. Let's go for it. I hope it will work. Yeah. I need my eyes. Ah, it's here. Much better. Beloved, we will skip some of it because I want to get to the real deep water. Okay, this evening is just an introduction, okay? Tomorrow evening, Friday Eve, if you come, we are going to go into deep waters. We are going to see Yeshua in the creation. We are going to see the gospel. Actually, like I said to all my tourists, I can preach the gospel using only the first four chapters of the Bible. Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, the rest is repetition. Why? Because we are not as smart as we think. We need reminders. How many times God says in the Bible, remember? 700, 900 times? Why? Because we forget. You don't need to be a graduate of seminar, a theological seminar, to understand why remember means do not forget. We made it so complicated. Beloved, this is Greek, Middle Eastern, mostly, by the way, Muslims, versus West, mostly Christian, cultures, okay? You can see some of the big differences, yeah? Like family-oriented in the